CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Adrian Groenewald, Louis Groenewald, and we are now going to talk transformation, a small little topic in South Africa. It's jokes aside, it is such a big issue. It is so real. It is so relevant. It's so domineering in our country. And probably why, Dad, but we'll talk about that. And the man we've got on the platform is Leon Steyn. He just brought out a book, or he's bringing out a book called Transformation in 28 Days. Boy, if we can transform our country in 28 days, that would be fantastic. And then the strapline is A Practical Guide to a Better Life. So something tells me this is broader than just black economic empowerment transformation, but all of that is transformation. So in the best way we can, in as short as possible time, like under a half hour, we're going to dig into this topic called transformation. Leon Steyn, welcome.
Thank you, Adrian.
It's good to have you with us. You're not a stranger. You've been on before, but it's quite some time back. Your life changed. You moved out of corporate fairly recently. You were the HR exec at, what was it, TMS?
Yes, Bidvest TMS Group. That's right.
Bidvest TMS Group. All right. So, Louis, I think the word transformation is all over, isn't it? And every second person thinks that they're an expert, but not everyone in the book. I think our show is called Leadership Transformation Platform. So I think a relevant conversation, Louis.
I think so, Adrian, especially after the dramatic announcements with the new batch of ministers and the expectation many people have that transformation will now happen. I think what discussion with Leon will point out is very important. He actually is a study of how to make transformation work personally and organizationally. So I think it's very pertinent, very relevant, Adrian, at this stage.
And I think we do need transformation in transportation as well.
Yeah.
Your slip of tongue there. So yes, I think worthwhile conversation. We have a president who's made all the waves of late that he wants to transform faster the economy, and then he made these big changes which could alienate him to some degree, which could, ironically, with all the emphasis and the energy spent on what he's done, it could hamper or slow down transformation. But let's not get too politically bogged down. Leon, just tell us what made you write this book, and I guess a cheeky question, why are you qualified to do so?
Adrian, most people, some people experience some time in their life, go through a traumatic experience, and that forces them into transformation. For the last couple of years, transformation, political transformation, that is, in the corporate environment, and in particular, I'm at TMS where I was my portfolio, and it was something that I found very interesting, something that I had a passion for. And over time, when we were battling to achieve the objective set, you know, by the government, and also to try and transform the workplace in line with the demographics of the country, it struck me that people serving on the structures that are meant to support the drive of transformation don't necessarily understand transformation themselves. I've come through a few traumatic events. Youngest daughter broke her neck. I came through a very debilitating speech problem. I've gone through a liquidation. And there are a few things that have forced me into a personal transformation. And as I started thinking about, you know, our country and about my career at the corporates, I realized that in order for a deeper level of change to take place, it's got to be in the form of transformation. So I started off at a personal level, having a look at what is this thing called transformation, why does it work, and why does it sometimes not work. And I also had a look at, you know, some of the factors influencing why some people find it easier to transform or adapt than others. And I came to the realization that it's actually the EQ in a person and not the IQ that makes one able to adapt to a situation. And so what I, in my personal experience, some sound practice and theory, and then I structured it in a self-help, easy-to-read format. You know, we get overladen with data and information, and sometimes people just want the clear message. What is it exactly that I must do to cut out the noise that we so often have? And that was really sort of the basis of me writing the book.
Leon, I mean, you say we'll get the that you kind of came across the fact that emotional intelligence, EQ, is a very important component for leaders or for people to willingly, shall we say, transform. And the SQ component, the spiritual quotient?
That definitely comes into it as well. I definitely think if one approaches it, or if one considers the altruistic disposition that people have, you know, to serve mankind, linking it also to one's person, the SQ definitely comes into it. Because if you don't have a fair amount or a fair share of the SQ, I don't think your EQ is going to have a sound enough basis to actually bring about, you know, whatever your purpose is on the one hand, or on the other hand, if you are a catalyst or an agent, you know, of this thing we call transformation.
Arden, can I just comment two things based on what Leon has said? The one is that he spoke of a traumatic experience or experiences in his life. Our experience has been, Arden, as you know, that the people who really have a vision of, say, to fight racism and to understand and apply transformation do need personal experiences that really changes their life quite dramatically. You can't just do it mentally. It must be emotional for sure and a spiritual experience as well. The other aspect I just want to reinforce, where Leon was before in charge of this corporate, he actually succeeded in meeting these triple BE compliance. And believe me, all our experience is very few people were meeting it. So he's speaking from a solid base of not only applying it on a personal level, as he mentioned from his own experiences, but also on an organizational level. And I think this, to me, makes it an authentic book he's written as well.
Good point. I recall the challenges not long ago when the codes were changed and most organizations dropped a few levels, and I think in your organization you were able to continue moving forward. So you know, authentic track record in that sense, and then the personal one comes in. Just one step back, you mentioned the types of transformation categories out there, which kind of, I don't know, made me worry. Because in South Africa, when we think transformation, we think one thing. But you mentioned global, environmental, political, economic, technological, social. There's a long list: commercial, spiritual, personal is the big one. So, transformation is certainly not just political.
Adrian, no, it isn't. And I think that is actually one of the keys to successful transformation is, you know, we've got to position ourselves as a country, as organizations, as people wanting to make certain entities succeed, we've got to position ourselves in the context of the global village. And every country on this planet has got issues, has got political issues, they've got economic issues, they've got social issues. And only if one sort of is cognizant of those, you bring it in to sort of color in the background of our own transformation, are you able to establish links that make sense to people who may not have gone through some form of pain in order to transform, to keep up with the change, which we know happens daily. I mean, you know, you mentioned it just now when the program started, the political uncertainty and the rapid rate of change that we experience in South Africa. So transformation, in my view, happens at so many levels that when we are a custodian, or whether or a catalyst, or we are about to embark on transformation, we've got to be mindful of the external factors that influence that. And once one sort of bedded that down in your mind, and you then move it down almost in a funneling concept to one's particular situation, you almost turn the funnel upside down as you move up the hierarchy from personal to interpersonal, then within the department, then within an organization, and ultimately, you know, to the national transformation, which is a political transformation.
Yeah, so if we look at the essence of transformation, firstly, it's not exclusive to South Africa. It's for me, and I might be superficial here, but it's another word for change or progress, grow, improve. But as we go through this transformation, every country or every environment, shall we say, every business, every family, every individual have their own sensitivities surrounding this specific change or transformation. And I almost want to say they've got their own political correctness, so to speak. So it's not just in South Africa where during the transformation process we fall prey to trying to be so politically correct that we might even slow down the transformation. But everywhere else, whatever transforms, whoever transforms, have their own sensitivities during that period. It's not necessarily race, but it might be gender, or it might be age, or it might be lack of qualification. Lots and lots and lots of issues. Your comments on that?
Yes, most definitely. And I think one of the challenges we face in South Africa, and a lot of the people, a lot of people working in the realm of transformation, sometimes lose sight of the fact that it's not unique. It's not unique, only to population group, but it goes much further. And I think with that understanding, Our domestic transformation in South Africa could have been a lot further down the line if, you know, for example, a committee, an employment equity committee, who is appointed to drive that part of the transformation. I believe there should be far more stringent training and requirements before of the committee members imposed before the committee is elected. Because I also don't think we realize how important that role is, of that body, and whether it's an individual or whether it's a committee, although the committee is actually prescribed by the Employment Equity Act. They need to be mindful of dealing with something that has relevance to the global village, to the, to the international society at large. And it is imperative in order for the country to move ahead. You know, so I definitely think the external factors have to be drawn into our situation. And then, of course, our local conditions must then be the driving force and the closer frame of reference, you know, for the true transformation that starts with the heart, in my opinion.
Louis, you want to come in there? I want us to get to the meat of the book because it's not a very thick book. But, man, it's packed with principles, it seems. And you speak of 28 days as a key sort of process. But Louis, do you want to say something before we dig into that?
Well, this is very much what Leon addressed in the book, Adrian. You see, he emphasizes very strongly that you can't transform an organization or a country if personal transformation doesn't take place. Now, we have a lot of experience of speaking to top executives recently, or the last year or two, Adrian, about the transformation program, and quite frankly you sense that most of the contribution was out of compliance sensitivity, not out of a personal understanding, a personal passion that transformation can happen, and it will happen. It boils down to the fact that you need to personally transform your thinking before you can, with any kind of integrity, pursue it around you. That's why people such a strong pushback factor, because it's all about the compliance. It's not about the spirit of what transformation is all about. And Leon's book is very much about that.
Leon, all right, your book. You say day one, define transformation. Day two, why transformation. Day three, keys to transformation. I'm not going to go through all of them, but day four, action stations. So you've got so much in here. Coloring your milestones, stick to your own rules. A lot of interesting. Check your GPS. The devil is in the detail. So all in all, lots of short chapters. Take a break. I'm interested in that one. Your brain is amazing. Is it on your side? Reach out to someone in need. You talk about caring. So there's a lot of things here which on face value would seem like it's on the fringes of transformation or it has nothing to do with it. But when we define it properly, obviously it does have something to do with it. Which of these chapters do you feel we should touch on first that you have a soft spot for in terms of the author and wanting to get the message out there?
I think day 7, creating meaning. I've got a saying in the book by Jim Collins, where he says, without meaningful work, you don't really, really have any meaning, you know, for yourself. In fact, you know, the saying is, for in the end, it is impossible to have a great life unless it is a meaningful life. And it is very difficult to have a meaningful life without meaningful work. And that brings together, you know, sort of the purpose that one has as an individual and also the purpose of, you know, of true transformation. So definitely, you know, I think chapter 7 is the one that we can spend a bit of time on.
Okay, so let's look at that then. Anything else you want to highlight from that one specifically? I mean, a lot of transformation, certainly politically, is forced. Or, you know, people certainly just comply. The heart is not in it. So if you had a continuum in front of you, on the left is just compliance. On the right is your heart, that your heart is in the whole thing.
Yes.
Are you saying you have to, as a leader, the first thing you have to do is yourself tap into the real meaning of this transformation initiative, be it personally, be it as a team, be it as a company or as a country? And the ability to bring meaning and heart into it.
Yeah, absolutely, Adrian. You know, I think if one has a look at the responsibility one has as an individual and in the role that one has, the word meaning, you know, it's bandied about such a lot, and just as the word transformation is. And to have the essence of meaning, I think, embodied in one's heart, and it's sort of almost the spectacles that you wear. You know, if you look through a spectacle, a pair of glasses of meaning, it just gives it a bit more importance. You know, you also referred to the 28 days just now, and maybe just on the side before I continue. You know, depending which literature one reads and which statistical data one follows, one takes on average between 21 and 28 days to change a habit. So if one is really serious about transformation and if you're really serious about giving meaning to whatever your task is, doing a little bit, a lot, is far more productive than trying to change the world in one day. So what really the approach is, and what my idea was with the book, is if you do that little bit every day for 28 days, your chances are just so much bigger of bringing about some, let's call it neural pathways in your brain, for lack of a better, you know, sort of visualization, to actually start thinking differently. And if you think differently, you act differently. And that's what people see. And you know, we all know, and it's also, I think, contained in all the scriptures, you know, whether it be the Torah or the Quran or the Bible, that people are far more prone to respond positively to an example that is set as opposed to being told what to do. And that is also woven in, you know, throughout the book. So I think chapter 7 starts getting into the guts of it, where it's got to be meaningful, you know. And then with the GPS, I've used a bit of terminology in the names of the chapters, just to make it a bit lighter. It's not heavy reading. It's not an academic book by no you know, stretch of the imagination. But it's a handy toolkit that you can keep with you and read a little bit every day. And that really is the underlying principle. If one is serious about it, this book will give you that first small step to creating meaning you know, in yourself, to those around you, and also to society at large.
So, Leon, just practically speaking, if we look at 28 days, there are some, as I said, some deep principles in here, but not long-winded in any which way. If I had to go through all the titles, people would appreciate how much is in here. But the 28-day thing, you can't take a whole organization through a day every day and take 28 days. So are you almost saying it's symbolically 28 phases that you go through?
Yes, Adrian, I think so. You know, my idea with it, I've written a training manual that accompanies the book. And the idea is really to start, and it's really scratching the surface. You know, we know that transformation is so deep and so far reaching. And as the organization gets bigger, the more complex it becomes, that it starts bringing about that change. And this, the implementation of this sort of concept in any organization would be accompanied by, you know, a bit of EQ and definitely a lot of change management. And one's most probably going to find that as you work through these phases, people are going to fall off because it's not for them at that point in time. And I think that's the other reality, is that you may have one, two, or three champions within an organization who resonate with us, and those are then automatically, I think, pretty good candidates to take this further. And let's leave the BE aside, you know, just for a minute. If one is going through restructuring, you can use these principles. If you're wanting to introduce new technology into a department, you can use these principles. If you're wanting to induct, when there's been a merger or an acquisition, and you want to induct the two groups into a third or a merged culture, you would use these principles. So I suppose one could say the days are equal to phases, but it's a process, and this is really just the first little step of the process.
Leon, just you've sort of immersed yourself in transformation. You did it for a long time in the corporate, individually, and of course now writing this book over this last while, you would be very much tuned in to anything and everything transformation. So just give me your professional opinion. How are we doing? Has these 28 principles, if we use that as a benchmark, as a backdrop, as a country, how are we doing and where are we falling short, do you think? Because most people would say to you, no, we're not doing so well. Maybe today is not a good day because people seem to be in a negative space. But how are we doing when you look at these principles?
Again, I think, in short, my short professional answer is I don't think we're doing well at all. If one contextualizes that over a political or a long-term perspective, you know, if we're talking National Development Plan 2030, then we could be doing fairly. If we have a look that we are 21 years into the democracy, I don't think we're doing well. And I think it goes back to a lot of the information and the principles, you know, that you stand for in terms of leadership and leadership transformation. I think it boils back down to leadership. We are still battling to find proper leaders. We are still battling to find a leader who's able to create meaning for the people that are in it for the long haul and who are actually meant to support it. And I think there's a very strong correlation. In fact, I know, between, you know, what you see as transformation and what a leader's responsibility is. Because at the very core of it, is a leader not meant to bring about transformation all the time, little bits on a one day and maybe a bit more on the other day? My short answer is I don't think we're doing well at all. Do we have the opportunity to, you know, to do better? Most definitely. But I think it gets back to leadership and meaning.
Louis?
I think, Adrian, going through the book, I must admit to Leon that each area I could see where we touch base with people that do have a good grasp of it. Not possibly the whole book, very few people have, but a lot of good work has been done in spite of toxic leadership all around. To us, Arden, you know, the term authentic leadership really embraces transformational leadership. Can I mention just 2 points that he mentions in the book too? He mentions about embracing the culture, that one should cling to like-minded people. I think one must understand this is quite traumatic, the changes we expect, especially if you're tying the really unreasonable projection of political expediency, etc. So therefore, one must sort out and find like-minded people, because that, and Leon wisely realizes you can't grow by yourself. It just doesn't work that way. He shows a very good balance between theory and practice. The other one, he speaks putting things, keep things in perspective. It's like we say, Arjun, that all movement is accompanied by resistance. We call it the law of resistance. And what he's saying, you should expect resistance, expect opposition. And this is where quality and authentic leadership comes in. That if you've got to change people around you and yourself, it's not possible without letting go of things. So therefore, the opposition will come, and some of it may well be traumatic. I think he discovers that in the book. I like the balance he does between the kind of vision, the passion, and then the practicality that a wise leader must consider in this process. It is a process, and the process will include ups and downs, but the value of that, speaking of meaning, boy, this is making life meaningful, far more meaningful for yourself and for all those around you, and possibly for a whole country.
Leon, I think we need to start wrapping up soon, but your thoughts and just final comments maybe to leaders out there when it comes to transformation, your comments that you don't think we're doing so well as a country, I think everyone would probably say that. And then the link with leadership. If you have a leader who hasn't transformed him or herself, I guess you can be fairly polished and well-qualified and intelligent and end up doing fairly okay, but when the pressure is on, I think you're in trouble. So we've got to wrap up. If you would just give your final thoughts on it, and then we can tell people the book again.
Adrian, yeah, thank you very much. I think, in short, you know, when I said we're not doing that well, that's not to overshadow the pockets and the areas where it's going well. But I think, in short, what we need, what we are looking for, is leaders who are able to listen more than they speak. And to just hear a person out, you know, check out the situation and then build up from that point on. And maybe the selection of the people responsible for driving transformation, I don't like the word drive, but who are responsible and who are, you know, responsible for guiding, I find, works better for me, is that those people, there's a bit more time and effort spent on selecting those people. You know, that for me really is the essence. And then leadership, you know, if you've got sound and authentic leadership, if those people get some things highlighted, then I have no doubt that we can show exponential results.
Leon, thank you so much. Author of Transformation in 28 Days, A Practical Guide to a Better Life. And where will people get hold of this book, of you, in order to implement it in their lives and in their businesses?
Adrian, it's due for, it comes out within the next 2 weeks, and I will send a link where the book is available. It's not going to be available through bookstores yet, but I will send a link, you know, to Leadership Platform, and then it will also, they can just watch out for me on social media.
All right, so people, look out for Leon. He's also on Twitter and all kinds of social media. Thank you so much. A lot of interesting things. Louis Groenewald as well. And transformation is a big issue in our country. It's a big issue in the world. And that's why this is called Leadership Transformation Platform. Next up, our business masterclass with Richard Angus and his team. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.